So 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 to 10. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. Now Giles is going to come and open God's word for us, and as he does, we'll just pray for him. Lord, we want to give you thanks for Giles. We want to give you thanks for his giftings. Lord, we want to give you thanks for his service in this place, his service to UCCF, and his service to the NHS. Lord, we pray that in each sphere you would bless him and encourage him and grant him your wisdom. And Lord, we pray that especially you would give him your wisdom as a dad. Lord, we thank you for his lovely family, and we pray that you would bless them and encourage them. And Lord, that they would each one come to serve you as their King and Saviour. We ask these things for Jesus' sake, and pray that you would bless him now as he opens your word to us. Fill him with your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Andrew.
Well, it's New Year's Eve, and time to dust off last year's resolutions and try them again. I'm sure you can all think of resolutions that you made at a New Year's Eve party years before that were rapidly hit by reality in the first few weeks of the new year. As one comedian said, a New Year's resolution is something that goes in one year and out the other. It starts well and it slowly fades, doesn't it? What begins in a fire of enthusiasm dwindles to little more than a faint glow in a corner of the fireplace. So you try again next year, fanning into flame the dying embers of last year's resolution. So what's yours going to be this year? Go to the gym? Go on the diet? Spend less time on Twitter or Snapchat? Spend more time studying? Well, whatever your resolution, you know it's going to be hard work. We're going to need lots of encouragement and discipline. It's going to be painful. But even if you try really hard, you're probably going to fail. So many people, don't they, resolve to end the year with a fatter bank account and a thinner body. But however hard they try, they end up the other way round. So maybe we just give up early. One way or another, New Year's resolutions end up in failure. The diet's forgotten, the gym membership is unused, and you've started yet another farm game on Facebook. So maybe you're expecting me to say, so instead, resolve to read your Bible and pray more, which would be good. But you see, even if we're doing that in our own strength, we're going to fail. So let's look instead at what Paul encourages here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So if you could open That passage, it's on page 1195 in the Church Bibles, in verses 6 to 10. And here in verse 6, Paul reminds Timothy to fan into flame the gift that he's received from God, to get going with the ministry that God's given him. Now, for Timothy, his ministry was to lead the church in Ephesus. We saw that in the previous letter to Timothy. And he's going to be doing that through teaching them the Bible. We see that in the rest of this book, chapters 2 to 4. But it was hard work. There was opposition for Timothy from false teachers in the church who were undermining his teaching and leading people astray. So you see a clue of that there in verse 15. Everyone's deserted me. And then we see that spelled out in the next few chapters. And there's a threat of persecution from the state, from the Roman Empire. Paul is a prisoner in Rome. You see that in verse 8. Don't be ashamed of him, a prisoner. And then in verse 16, he talks about his chains. And he talks about his trial in chapter 4. Now, other church leaders would expect similar treatment. And it didn't help that Timothy himself was prone to illness. If you look back at the previous page, at the top left, verse 23 of chapter 5, your frequent illnesses. Things were tough for Timothy. And Paul knows there in verse 12 that ministry will bring suffering. And he calls Timothy in verse 8 to join him in that suffering. So here's the situation. Timothy is in danger of giving up. He's scared of the opposition. He's maybe in danger of being ashamed of the gospel. So he needs encouragement. So Paul says, look, don't be timid. Don't be ashamed. Fan into flame your gift. Get going with your ministry. Now, we're not Timothy. At least I'm not the leader of a Turkish church. But Paul tells us in Romans 12 that we all have different gifts from God that we should be using in ministry for one another. Prophecy, service, teaching, encouraging, generous giving, leading, showing mercy. So here in Crofton or elsewhere, you might be leading Sunday school. I hope not, because you should be there, I suppose. If you've forgotten to go out, maybe slip out now. Maybe you're organising the coffee, or your ministry might be prayer for others in the church, or supporting overseas missionaries. You might be welcoming people on the door, serving on the leadership team, or visiting people in the local community. You might keep the building tidy, or run a home group, or do the flowers, or pastor the church, or play in the music group. Everyone who knows Jesus has been given gifts to serve him and his church. Well, some of you may be well established in your ministry. Some of you may still be exploring what your gifts are. But whatever your ministry is, it'll be hard work. Now, the pressures are going to be different from those that Timothy faced, or those in many countries today who face persecution. But Paul still tells us to expect suffering in ministry. Maybe it's just that you find it hard to give time to the church when you're so busy at work and home already. Maybe, like Timothy, poor health has made it difficult for you to serve. Maybe there are disputes and arguments within the church that discourage or hinder you. Maybe you face opposition from friends or an employer because you're a Christian. So perhaps, like Timothy, we need to be encouraged not to give up, not to be ashamed, not to be afraid, but to get going and fan into flame the gifts we've been given. Because if we don't, our ministry might just disappear the same way as all those New Year resolutions. So how do we avoid that? It is all very well for Paul to urge Timothy on, but plenty of people encourage us to make a New Year's resolution, and we still fail. Go to the gym, start the diet, fan your spiritual gifts into flame. Why don't we just fail in ministry in the same way? Well, I think there are two key reasons in this passage: the power of God and the purpose of God. So firstly, in verses 6 to 8, the power of God. The power of God. You see, we fail at our New Year's resolutions because we're usually doing them on our own. It's 11 o'clock and time for coffee, but that piece of cake just looks so tempting. just this once. No one needs to know. We can carry on the diet tomorrow. Or maybe you're trying your New Year's resolution with others. That might help. So you do five-a-side football every Saturday morning. Week one, you're really keen. Week two, someone has to ring to remind you, but that's okay. Week three, you'd really rather not bother, but you don't want to let the team down, so you still go. Week four was really hard at work, long hours, and you need a lie-in, and they can cope without you for 1 week. And it's really cold, because it's still January, and your bed is so much warmer. But Paul isn't telling Timothy to go it alone. He's not even relying on people like himself encouraging Timothy to keep going. Of course, it is really helpful for us to know that we stand shoulder to shoulder with other Christians, to know that others are loving us and praying for us. I'm sure that's why, if you just skip back to verses 3 to 5, Paul reminds Timothy of those generations of faithful people who came before Timothy's family, his mother Eunice, his grandmother Lois. And of Paul's own love for him. And it's true for us too that we need the love of each other as we serve one another in ministry. So let's thank God for all those people he's given to support us and be supported by us. But see, what Paul is stressing here is not those people actually. It's all about God. So the first clue is that Paul reminds Timothy to fan his gift into flame for this reason. There at the beginning of verse 6. For what reason? Well, the sentence before gives the reason. That Paul is sure that Timothy's faith is real. Timothy has a sincere and profound trust in God. God is trustworthy and will help us get the job done. Because you trust this God, Timothy, get going with the gifts he's given you. After all, the gifts you have, in verse 6, are from him. And then Paul gives more reasons. Fan your gift into flame, because verse 7, for the Spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid. God hasn't just given you your gift of ministry. He's given you his very Spirit, God with you. And therefore, so, verse 8, don't be ashamed, but suffer in ministry by the power of God. So it's not our own feeble attempts at a New Year's resolution. It's God's power. God with us to make sure that his gifts are used for his ministry. Look ahead to verse 14. Timothy is to fulfill his ministry with the help of the Holy Spirit. And although our ministry is going to be different from Timothy's, it's the same God. The same God who gives us all our different ministries and is going to help us use them. Look back to verse 7. He gives himself in the person of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to give us courage to fulfill our ministry, however tough it is. He gives us the power to get the job done. He gives us the love to use our gifts in the service of others. And he gives us the self-discipline to get going. So yes, it is about self-discipline. It is about other people helping us as we help them. But both of those are themselves only made possible because God is with us. He has the power, and he's given us that power to use the gifts he's given us according to his plan and purposes. So let's pray that he would fill us with his Spirit this new year so that we would know our gifts and use them in the power of God for his gospel. So that's the first big difference between our run-of-the-mill New Year's resolution and Paul telling us to fan our gifts into flame. The difference is the power in which we do that. Not in our own strength, but God's strength. The second big difference is the purpose behind them. Not our own purposes, but the purpose of God. So this is my second point in verses 8 to 10, the purpose of God. You see, why do you have a resolution to work or study harder? It might be to pass exams. It might be to get a promotion. There's all sorts of reasons, purposes, behind our New Year's resolutions. And different people might even be doing the same thing, but for very different reasons. So you might be dieting or exercising to reduce your risk of heart attack or just to make yourself more attractive. Different goals are going to shape the resolutions you make. But Paul gives one clear purpose for fanning our gifts into flame, for being willing to suffer in ministry, and that's the gospel. So, verse 8, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And he calls us to join in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So the purpose of God in our ministry is the gospel. That's what it's all for. Whatever our gifts are, whatever our ministries, it's all for the gospel. That's the point of it all. That's God's purpose in the mission of his church. It's all for the gospel. Oh, but what does he mean by that? Is it just this sort of one of these platitudes that we tack on to the end of a sentence, something we want to do for our own reason, but we make it sound more holy by saying, I'm doing it for the gospel? No, so Paul's really specific, isn't he? He says, suffer for the gospel here in verse 8. And then he gives us a summary of what that gospel is in verses 9 to 10. So look with me at verse 9. So firstly, it's all God's work to call people to him, to save us from sin and death, and to live lives set apart for him. It's nothing we've done. It's all God's gift of grace, planned from all eternity. God's purpose from all time has been to call his people to him, and now he's done just that. And secondly, in verse 10, he's revealed that glorious grace in our Saviour, Jesus Christ the King, who's destroyed the power of sin and death when he died on the cross, and who now brings new and eternal life to his people. And that's the gospel that Paul preaches and teaches there in verse 11. That's the gospel that he keeps telling Timothy to keep on preaching and teaching in verse 13. The gospel that must be guarded and passed on faithfully to the next generation in verse 14. And so that's the gospel that must be the point and the purpose of our ministries too. So we might not be preaching like Paul or Timothy, but all our ministries must be shaped by this gospel, must advance the gospel, promote the gospel. Now in Ephesians 4, Paul tells us in verses 7 and 8 that God gives each of us different gifts. And then he says in verses 11 and 13, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So as we're taught God's word, we as God's people learn to serve each other so that we grow to be more like Jesus. That's God's purpose for ministry. That's what promoting the gospel is all about. So it's not just the pastor teacher who promotes the gospel in his ministry. It's all of us in whatever ministry we serve, with whatever gifts God has given us. We're working to see the gospel fulfilled as people turn from sin and live for Christ. And the gospel, the good news, isn't just what we proclaim in our evangelism, what we hear and believe when we become Christians. It's about being a Christian. It's what shapes the whole of our Christian lives, by grace, for God's glory. Back in 2 Timothy 1, it's this good news of the holy life, in verse 9, that God has saved and called us for. The life, in verse 10, that Jesus has brought us through his death and resurrection. That's the life that was planned from before time and promised for all eternity. God's people living like Jesus. That's what disciples are. That's what our mission is. To make disciples. To see people becoming Christians and to see Christians growing more like Jesus. Helping people follow Jesus. That's Crofton's motto. So how are we doing that? How are we promoting the gospel in our ministries? Now perhaps you're directly teaching others the gospel in evangelism, in Sunday school, in home groups, or reading the Bible one-to-one with a friend. But perhaps your ministry is indirectly promoting the gospel by enabling others to teach and preach through prayer and financial support for the staff, making sure the microphones work. Even some of those things that you might think are the most mundane parts of church ministry, they're there to help the church achieve its overall mission of reaching people with the gospel. So if we didn't have working toilets, how many people might be put off from coming again? We don't have a functioning website. How many people might not be able to find out where and when we meet? So when we think about how we can use our gifts in ministry, when we pray, how can we support others in our ministry? Let's keep that bigger picture. How will this promote the gospel? When we pray for each other's health or for church finances or the fabric of the building, let's not just pray for those things, but pray that those things will help us make disciples. But pray too, as we use our gifts in ministry for others, that we ourselves would be shaped to be more like Jesus. So our ministries are not just about teaching others or helping others teach, not just helping other people live like Jesus. They're actually the place where we show the truth of the gospel in our own lives. We show that God really has changed us and is continuing to change us. So our ministries are the place where we can practically love others, serve them, put others first. It's where we can suffer for the sake of others, like Jesus did, and as Paul expects us to. It's where we grow as disciples. So that's the purpose of God. Our gifts are to be used in ministry for the sake of the gospel, to speak for Jesus, to live for Jesus, so that we all grow to be more like him, to his glory. Well, as we finish, if you're not yet a Christian, make it your New Year's resolution to know Jesus more this year. Talk to someone here about what it means to follow Jesus. Maybe come to Christianity Explored. Hopefully there are some of these cards in the chair in front of you. One Life, What's It All About? It's a 7-week course to discover more about the claims of Jesus and what it means to be a Christian, starting on January 23rd. If you are a Christian, then resolve to use your gifts this year. What gifts has God given you? Where could you use them in service for his gospel? Let's make it our resolution that we'll fan those gifts into flame. And let's thank God that it won't be like any other resolution, because we're not on our own. If we're working for the gospel, we have the power of God to keep going when it's tough. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit will be with us, giving us that self-discipline, giving us that love of others, and the power and courage we need to fulfill his purpose. And let's thank God that he has given us this clear purpose for our gifts, to see the gospel proclaimed and lived, to make disciples. So as we look forward to the new year, let's keep studying that gospel as we read the Bible. And let's thank God for the opportunities he gives us to serve each other in this mission, trusting that he will give us the power we need to serve his purpose. Amen.